Scrum doesn't force you to do the things that build a good team, but when you've got Scrum in your toolbox and you know the things that make for a healthy team, you know the things that make for motivated team members, mm-hmm. if you can put those together and use something like Scrum or XP to deliberately build a high-performing team, like you're way ahead of either of the models separately.
That's right.
The two together are really powerful. Of Agile for All's Humanizing Work Show. For both me and Peter, our formative experience with a healthy team in a work context was on an Agile software development team. So in this episode, we're going to look at what is it about Agile software development that we like so much, particularly the Scrum and extreme programming expressions of Agile software development. Now, knowing what we know about what makes a great team, why do we like those so much? Peter? What is it for you? You've said that Scrum is the best technology you know of for how to make a high-performing team. What is it about Scrum and what you know about teams that fits together so nicely?
I think one of the reasons they align is that Jeff Sutherland, when he was working out the Scrum process, was really studying a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. And so if you look at some of the structures around Scrum, like the team size, for example, that Scrum recommends is around 7, which goes back to some of that research. The idea of a self-organizing team taps into autonomy and mastery and growth. Mm-hmm. And the regular retrospection that happens on a Scrum team, where every week or 2 weeks or 4 weeks or however long these iterations are in a Scrum team, that regular retrospection helps the team constantly, or encourages the team to constantly be reflecting on how they could be a better team going forward. Mm-hmm. So there are several concepts. And then the idea of getting regular feedback from customer helps tap us into that theme of impact and how are we mm-hmm. making an impact and how can we improve that impact. So I think a lot of the structures that Scrum encourages are directly aligned with some of these things that we know about what makes great teams.
Mm-hmm. And the minimal nature of it is really nice. Mm-hmm. When we think about enabling structures and keeping them light and flexible for the teams, Scrum has this nice basic set where it's, let's have clear membership, mm-hmm. let's have a focused direction that we know is going to be high impact because it's the most important thing we could possibly do, mm-hmm. Top of the product backlog,
right.
And let's get frequent feedback about what we're doing and build in some growth.
Yeah.
So it's like if I had to come up with a minimal set of things you would do as a healthy team and to accelerate building a healthy team, at this point, it looks a whole lot like Scrum.
It would look a lot like Scrum. I think there are probably things that we would do differently. And mm-hmm. honestly, if Jeff and Ken were to start over,
they'd probably do it differently.
They might do it slightly differently as mm-hmm. well. They might have a lot of the same patterns. But mm-hmm. you know, on one of the teams, like the most effective version of a product owner we ever had was actually a collaborative team doing that work.
Right.
So there might be a few variations from kind of the standard Scrum framework. But I think that what you're saying there is spot on. Is that Scrum, even though it was invented in a software development context, because it is such a minimal, lightweight set of constraints, mm-hmm. it's broadly applicable outside of software development. Right. And we have several clients that use Scrum in all types of contexts. You and I both use parts of Scrum in how we interact with our families. Mm-hmm. I've used it in religious contexts, in sports contexts, in all different contexts.
Right.
It works well for that.
Yeah, and there's, I think, it doesn't show up in the team research so much, but I think there's something fundamentally human about the time box in Scrum.
Mm-hmm.
I know teams sometimes struggle with that because, well, it makes some things really visible, like mm-hmm. that we don't get things done.
Right.
And want to switch to a continuous flow kind of process, like a Kanban system, which I really like for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something basic to humans about recurring time intervals.
Right.
You know, we do things daily, like sleep and wake up and eat meals on a regular cadence. We do things weekly.
Mm-hmm.
We have this natural cycle there. We have months, we have quarters, we have years. And it's just a human thing going way back in history.
Right.
And attempts to change that, like the French Revolution trying to rationalize the length of the week,
right.
Didn't fit humans real well.
That's right.
So there's something to that. And I like how Scrum builds that recurring cadence into the work.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I notice a lot is that I can almost tell when a team is starting to really get into a flow with Scrum, because the cadence of sprints and daily standups don't feel uncomfortable or awkward anymore. Mm-hmm. It just feels like the natural way we work.
Yeah, it's just like, it's not like I had to eat breakfast again today.
Right. So
that's just what I do.
Of course.
Coordinate with the people I work with at the beginning of the day so that we make today matter.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you do when you're a team.
Mm-hmm. Right. When you reflect on your experience, because your first experience with Agile software development was not with Scrum.
It was XP.
Extreme programming, mm-hmm. right? So what is different, or what other lessons do you think we can learn from how mm-hmm. XP is structured?
Yeah, XP looks a lot like Scrum with engineering practices.
Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways. There are, mm-hmm. I think, a few other key things.
Yeah, there are some key differences that reflect the different contexts mm-hmm. from which they emerged.
Yeah.
But in terms of the basic coordination points, you've got planning, you've got a daily sync, you've got something like a review and a retro.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, it looks a lot like Scrum.
Yeah.
For me, as a software developer, the addition of the engineering practices gave us some structure for excellence and growth.
Yeah.
And a sense of mastery.
Yeah.
We were able to do our work really well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're working in that software context, there's a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience baked into those XP practices.
Yeah.
That gave us some good structure ways to collaborate as a team mm-hmm. inside the iteration or sprint. And you know, things like pair programming, mm-hmm. test-driven development, continuous integration gave us really short cycles to collaborate together and build trust,
mm-hmm.
Show some vulnerability, ask for help. A lot of things we want to see on a healthy Scrum team in any context, you have a set of patterns or recipes for how to do that well and quickly in a software context from extreme programming. So I still like bringing those things in
right.
to Scrum teams. When I first started with XP, it was really common at that time to talk about the reinforcing nature of all the practices and how mm-hmm. you had to do all of them. Since then, I've found smaller sets of them that can be adopted slowly into a Scrum software team.
Like a subset?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I like behavior-driven development, mm-hmm. customer-facing tests,
right.
and continuous integration as the first ones.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, we're going to collaborate a little bit differently, focus on the customer, so we're going to get impact, we're going to have this feedback built in
right.
on very short cycles. Eventually, that's going to make us want to be able to get feedback faster so we can adopt developer-facing test-driven development and refactoring and
right.
Some of these other practices along with it. We don't have to do all of them in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
but each set of them that we bring in actually supports a lot of the things that the research about teams shows you want to build on a team.
Yeah, and when I look back on, you know, all of the teams that I've coached, the ones that were in a software context that were the best at creating high-quality, resilient software mm-hmm. were using XP practices. To the extent that when I would tell, you know, about those teams, when I would tell things about their quality and I would talk about, you know, the almost complete absence of defects mm-hmm. in those products, other software development teams think I'm making it up. a couple of things I like about extreme programming. One is that I think that there's more focus on mastery and growth mm-hmm. of the profession than there is in Scrum. And I think that's partially intentional with Scrum because they wanted to make it broadly applicable in a mm-hmm. lot of different contexts. But there's something about the focus on the craft of whatever it is mm-hmm. that XP really emphasizes in a way that I think adds to the Scrum framework.
Right. And that's healthy for, I think, a Scrum team to borrow no matter what they're working on,
exactly.
not the specific practices, uh-huh. but that sense of what are the best ways in our field
yeah.
to produce good quality work and get feedback very quickly.
That's right. The other one, and I know that pair programming as a practice, I think originated with that goal, faster feedback, higher mm-hmm. quality, but the idea of pairing on all types of work is something that no matter what type of team you're working on, whether you're doing an agile process or not, whether you're using Scrum or extreme programming, the idea of regularly pairing mm-hmm. on tasks that need to be accomplished hits a lot of the other themes around growth and collaboration, and impact, right? Seeing the impact sooner. Mm-hmm. And so I think that patterns like that don't need to be about software development.
Right. We do it with a lot of other work.
That's
all
right.
the time. And I think pairing is also an example of that subject-object move that we talk about in the episode on growth in season one, where it's about, in that case, personal growth, taking things that drive me without my awareness and my personality and making them objects so I'm aware of them.
Yeah.
I found that pair programming and pair work in general does that not with our personalities, but with our mental models about the work.
Yeah.
Because we have to build a shared mental model with somebody else and talk about how we're thinking about the work. Instead of our model controlling us as we do the work, it's something we can look at alongside the work and decide if it's working for us and try on some different ones.
You almost have to do that in order for it to work well.
For healthy pairing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just you're doing this mysterious thing.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll check typos, which is not a real high-value way to pair.
Yeah, or you're doing this the wrong way. Let me tell you the right way to do it, right? So a couple of anti-patterns that could pop up there when we're pairing. But if we go into pairing with the idea that different people see the world differently, and the way that this pair is going to work well is for us to both share how we see how the work gets done, what's our mental model behind it, that becomes a really powerful way to, again, bring that from something that's controlling me and owns me, my mental models own me, to something that I have these mental models, but I don't have to be subject to them anymore.
Right. So the bottom line for me is that Scrum and XP are really good at, you know, the tools for building a great team. Awareness of what makes a great team is a good tool. The two together work really well. So Scrum doesn't force you to do the things that build a good team, but when you've got Scrum in your toolbox and you know the things that make for a healthy team, you know the things that make for motivated team members, if you can put those together and use something like Scrum or XP to deliberately build a high-performing team, like you're way ahead of either of the models separately.
That's right.
The two together are really powerful.
Totally agree.
As always, we want to hear from you. What are some of the ways that you've used Scrum and XP to build a high-performing team and to put some of the other things we've talked about in this season into practice on your teams?
And maybe you've had an experience with a different model. Maybe you didn't come from an agile software development background, and you've found some other model that's been really useful to create high-performing teams. We want to hear about that as well.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.